And the harvest is ready to be brought in. God said, every blessing shall be upon my peoples. There is nothing that I am withholding from my precious remnant. You are the apple of mine eye, and I am so proud of you. Isn't that awesome? He said, every blessing shall be upon my peoples. There is nothing that I am withholding from my precious remnant. You are the apple of mine eye, and I am so proud of you. And you can see that in Psalm 17, verse 8, and Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10. I think it's awesome. They talk about being the apple of God's eye. I just think it's awesome. He said he's so proud of us. You know? God said, my son Jesus is rejoicing over you this very moment. He is rejoicing because you kept running for the race, and you would not allow anything to stop you. Isn't that awesome? God said, like my son Jesus, you picked up your cross each day, and you fulfilled the assignment for that day. And like my son Jesus, there were moments when you did not want to carry that particular cross, but you carried it anyway. There were times when you came before the throne of grace and you spoke words of failure. But in those times I spoke words of encouragement. You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It was so wonderful about when God gives us the message, he always uses the word to get his thought across. God said the fires were hot. The furnaces of affliction required times of total faith. There were circumstances that you dare not look at because they would have caused you to stumble and fall. Once again, I need to express my deep agape love for you, little ones. You were surrounded on all sides by the enemy, but you never gave up. You were in tight straits, but you found a way of escape, and that way was through my son, Jesus. Yes, he was interceding for you, and yes, my angelic host were sent to fight your battles for you when they became too rough. Are you hearing how much God loves us? You repented for your weaknesses, and you vowed to not allow the enemy to pull you into that snare ever again, only to find yourself back into the same battle of confusion. Some of you declared, "Can these dry bones live?" Live they did, stronger than before they dried up. You replenished those dry bones with your tears and your pleas of help me, Lord, I can't stand any longer. But you found the strength through your faith to go the extra mile each and every time. And you can find that in Ezekiel 37:3. Children, I am pleased as punch with you. There is no way I would ever throw you to the wayside. Your pain has been great. The humiliation was something you never thought you would have to endure, but endure you did, and just look at you now. You are a motley crew that the enemy underestimated. He looked at you and thought, they are no threat to my kingdom, but you showed him different. You allowed him to see my son Jesus in you, and you allowed that warrior spirit to rise within you and come forth with the roar of the Lion of Judah. You displaced all his negative thoughts and put him on the run. Children, keep him on the run, stay in the victory circle, and never for one instance give him any place for victory. My word tells you that you are the victorious one. And you see that in 1 John chapter 4. Verse 4. The enemy came in many times like a flood and thought he had you. Oh, was he surprised when you rolled over, stood up on your feet with sword in hand, and cut his demonic entities to ribbons. You can see that in Isaiah 59:19. God said he is still standing aghast at what some of you have done to his kingdom of darkness. Right now, he is walking in circles trying to figure out how to stop you, and there is no solution. You have finally determined that you are mine, and I have called you for such a time as this. You are on a roll, and you have determined to stay there. Rise up, O mighty men of valor, and totally annihilate the kingdom of darkness. You see that in Judges 6:12. Never for one instant allow the enemy to see fear in your heart. There is no fear in Christ Jesus, only perfect peace and full knowledge that you have all power and authority. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God said, "This day I say unto each of you individually, I am your strong right hand, and I uphold you in every instant life throws your way. I am not stumbling, and I am not leaving. I'm right by your side. I know the enemy has been throwing pocket after pocket of fear your way, but you are not to grab hold of them. You are to remain calm and assured that what I allow you to endure, I give you strength and wisdom to endure." In James 1:12 says, "Blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." You are procuring testimonies through the warfare you are going through. You are giving a very clear message to hell and all of its cohorts, and you are giving a very clear message to the body of true believers. Everything we're going through is for a testimony for Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God knows you were going to go through it, and he already have got you ready to go through the thing you're going through. I'm hearing God say, "I strengthened you in your times of weaknesses as you went through your trials and tribulations. I heard each and every word that you spoke to me. I watched and I saw each and every tear that you shed because you was not quite sure that you were going to make it through this troubling waters, but I was there. I held your hand. Sometimes I carried you, but I was there with you." God said Paul endured one hardship after another, some more than one time. But through it all, he remained a strong tower for the kingdom of light in his testimony of his grace is sufficient. Paul's testimony was his grace is sufficient. Has been bringing many through the throes of hell. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You know, God has me saying all the time, all is well. No matter what he tells me, say, all is well. And what we're affirming is that Jesus is in control of all things. And all is well. We don't have to worry about it. There's no fretting. We just go on each and every day knowing that God is in total control. God said, "What I am asking you to do is not a hard thing, but it is not what you expected." Always remember that what you are going through for the kingdom of light has far-reaching effects. You are preparing the way for the second coming of my Son, Jesus Christ. You are clearing the path for others to follow. As a forerunner, you will have to wade through the muck and the mire to make a road in the wilderness. But because I called you and gave you the name of forerunner, I also gave you strength, wisdom, and integrity to finish the race. How many of you know you've been going through some muck and some mire? How many of you know that there's many times that you felt downtrodden, but you had to pick your head up and you had to keep walking because you knew you were on assignment for the Father? God said, what you are accomplishing has never before been accomplished in church history. The historians are shaking their head in bewilderment of what is transpiring. They have no answers. You are on a wilderness trail that has never been explored before in church history. I want to read that again. What you are accomplishing has never before been accomplished in church history. The historians are shaking their head in bewilderment of what is transpiring. They have no answers. You are on a wilderness trail that has never been explored before in church history. Hell has all its fury to the surface, and you are enduring hardships that others did not have to endure. My word tells you, woe unto the earth, for the enemy has come down in all his fury. In Revelation 12:12 says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. I looked it up, and God told me 5 years ago, he gave me this scripture. And he said, all hell is arrayed against my church from this point on. And we had to fight. We had to stand tall and firm. And we had to forgive and forget so that we could go through and do the things that God's called us forth to do. God said, yes, he has come down with all his fury, but what does my word tell you? Isaiah 59:19-20. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up his standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. It doesn't matter what you're going through, God has already told the enemy, it is enough. It is finished. God said, you see, my children, I am not a father that runs and allows you to fight the enemy by yourself. I always have angelic beings standing by to send to your assistance. Allow you to see in the spirit realm so you can see the angelic host at war over you. They do not leave their post until the battle is won. You know, how many of you are asking God to open up your spiritual eyes and allow you to see into the spirit realm? So many people are saying that, you know, that God is opening their eyes and they're seeing the angels. We need to see the angels also. I know when I was first born again and I was in my prayer room praying, and all of a sudden I saw this being standing on a mountain. You know, and he had that short Roman robe on, skirt on, and had a sword in his hand. And I said, God, who is that? And he said, that's your protective angel. It's Michael, the archangel. He will be with you every day of your life. Do you know how many times I forgot that? And acted like I was out there all by myself. But yet, when I was first born again, God showed me my angel. And I said, when God was saying this, God opened my spiritual eyes once again and allowed me to see these angelic beings as you did when I was first born again. I think a lot of us have to go back to the beginning and allow God to show us, you know, what he showed us then. They kept us going. I know our faith keeps us going, but sometimes just seeing something in the spirit realm really gives you an extra boost, and so you can go forth. So God said, what did Daniel say in Daniel 10:12? Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. I love this passage in Scripture. We learn a few important truths in here. First, we learn that God immediately answered Daniel's prayer. Immediately, so this is encouraging. Second, Daniel's prayer was delayed because of satanic influence. Satan's kingdom relentlessly fights against the church. I sometimes wonder why God allows the devil and fallen angels to hinder our prayers. But for reasons unknown only to God, he does. From the very first day that Daniel prayed, God heard his prayer and sent the answer immediately. But the demonic realm fought the godly realm for 21 days before the answer finally came through to Daniel. We need to understand today the same thing is going on with us. When we pray, God immediately sends the answer, but then the demonic realm gets in there and starts fighting to keep the answer from us. Why? Because he knows we grow weary, and he knows if he keeps the answer from us long enough, we'll give up. So what did Daniel do? He didn't quit praying, did he? He kept praying for 21 days, and finally the archangels won the battle and brought the answer to him. Your faith is being sorely tested right now, and you're just going to have to know that you know that you know that what God spoke is accurate and that he's going to bring it to pass. Somebody called me this week and said they didn't understand a prophetic word, but as we talked and as God showed us, it wasn't for now. It's going to happen later on. So, you know, if you get a word that doesn't seem like it's accurate, it's not for the moment that you received it. God has shown you something's going to happen down the road. And too many of us look like it's going to happen right now, and it doesn't happen right now, so then we grow weary in well-doing and we give up. Are you listening? Our Daniel chapter 10, verse 11 says, "And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright." This was an angel talking to Daniel. "For unto thee am I now sent." And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am coming for thy words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, a demon, withstood me 121 days, that's 21 days. But lo, Michael, an archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." In other words, he stayed there and helped fight the battle. So an angel is constantly fighting the battle for you, so your prayers, your answer to your prayers comes to you. All right, here we see that the angels are referred to as chief princes, so we can say that the angels are princes. The Holy Bible teaches that the believer's battle is not against flesh and blood. And how many of us forget that quite more often than we ought? But rather against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. The world has always been a wicked place. You'll find that in 1 John 5:19. Every Christian is commanded to pray without ceasing. You'll find that in 1 Thessalonians 5:7. Pray without ceasing. This is what Daniel did until he got his answer. We ought to leave nothing to chance, but pray about everything, letting our requests be known unto God. And you'll find that in Philippians 4:6 through 7. Many believers pray, but then quit praying because they don't receive the answers they wanted. We ought to trust God and pray regardless and lean not to our own human understanding, and that's Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. God sees things that we cannot in the spiritual world and physical world as well. Prayer is getting God involved. Prayer is asking. Prayer is showing God that we are depending on him to help us, which is faith and humility. That's James 4, 6 through 8. You cannot draw nigh unto God without humbling yourself in prayer. Too many people, I don't know how many people come to prayer meeting anymore, but I don't think hardly any. Maybe one or two. And that's a shame, because prayer is the most important part of the week. We should learn from Daniel's hindrance to prayer by satanic forces that we are subject to the same delays. God said, "Did you not read in my word where angels went forth and wiped out entire armies? It was angels that wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah." The very same thing is going to occur across the land. My word tells you the battle belongs to me. Years ago, God told me that two states are going to be wiped out overnight. So I don't know what's coming down. You don't know what's coming down. We just have to trust and believe God. And we have to stay in faith and stay the course. 1 Samuel 17:47, "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." You know, see, if we really understood that the battle is God's and God's going to give our enemies into our hands, we wouldn't be going through the messes we go through. All this dumb junk that you say and do would not be said and done, because you would know the battle really belongs to the Lord and he's taking care of it. Really, you have no enemies, do you? They all belong to God, right? All right, then he said to me in Zechariah 4:6, this is a word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's, you know, you can't do anything on your own. It's by the Holy Spirit that all things are accomplished. The church is in a strait right now because there's many in the house of God that think they're okay and going to go to heaven, and they're not. I'll be teaching that tonight. And the church really needs to get their head out of the sand. And they really need to understand where they're at and what's going on around about them. And you need to be understanding that God is in control and you are not. And I'm just hearing God say these are very trying and unsettled days. And if you don't get yourself close to the cross, you're not going to make it. You're not going to understand what's going on because you're not walking in the spirit, but you're walking by your flesh. And when, you know, I think it might have been a fresh word I just got, but God has talked about disobedience, that we're disobedient to what he's asked us to do. And he's not pleased with that. In fact, I think he just wrote scripture on that. All right, Exodus 14, 13, and 14. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. I don't know how many times God has said, stand still to me and watch the salvation of work of the Lord on your behalf. And it's the same thing Moses told his people. We have a hard time with stand still, don't we? You know. We get diarrhea of the mouth, and we go on and on and on, and we should be standing still. God said, children, you need not fear any longer. The battle is not yours. The battle belongs to me. You need to be free to be about the Father's business of bringing in this end-time harvest of lost, starving souls. God said, the kingdom of light is on the move, and it is overtaking the kingdom of darkness. And you are the overtakers. Read that again. The kingdom of light is on the move, and it is overtaking the kingdom of darkness, and you are the overtakers. It is your light that is dispelling all darkness. It is as you allow your lights to burn brighter and brighter that you will see the fulfillment of all I have called you for to accomplish. You will be singing, oh, what a glorious day. And I thought about Stanville. You know, he sings that song. Start rejoicing right now, little ones, for the battle is not yours, and you are fishers of men bringing in the greatest catch of souls in church history. Your nets will overflow, but they will not break, for I am the maker of the nets. You are mine and I am yours, and I am totally for you and not against you. Now, see, some of you in here need to understand this. God is for you and not against you. I have already paved the way for your feet to trod. I just need you to move and remember, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Let's read this again. Some of you are a little dense, all right? Your nets will overflow, but they will not break, for I am the maker of the nets. You are mine, and I am yours, and I am totally for you and not against you. I have already paved the way for your feet to trod. I just need you to move and remember, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We are in a day, an hour, and a time when God is not playing games with anybody. We are in a time whenever we need to hear what the voice of the Father, and we need to move with the Father. Everybody that comes into this church is a leader. And God has been trying to build you up as a strong tower that others can run into. You should have the ability to speak wisdom from heaven to people who come in, who are unsaved, and who are asking questions. But if you're not walking in the Spirit, there's no way that you can win those people to Christ. And God is saying, Spirit is calling to Spirit quite a few years ago. All your religion is out the window. God is not looking at it. He's not going to look at it. He's not going to accept it. If you're not walking in the Spirit, then, you know, you're in trouble. See, the Spirit is leading, guiding, and directing us. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing that. How many of you ask the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct your footsteps every day? I know we probably pray, Jesus, lead, guide, and direct my footsteps. Why not pray, Holy Spirit, come in all your might and power and lead me the way God would have me go. So what did God hear? Remember, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. How do you see in the spirit realm? By the Spirit. God tells the Holy Spirit what to say to us. When we're doing prophetic, it's the Holy Spirit that's speaking through us. It is time, saints of God, that you join. I'm hearing God say that you join the angelic choir in heaven and start praising your way into victory. As you read the Word of God, you'll see that they always sent the singers before the battle. They always sent the praisers before the battle. And the praise and the worship sets the scenery for what's going to happen. Now, you know, if you don't have the right praise and worship songs, then you mess up the teaching too. This is why it's so important when you're doing a song service that you hear God and you do play exactly what he once played. And whenever you do, then it's going to set the scenery for what everything else God wants to do. When we had the moving of God before, everything happened during praise and worship. We'd do praise and worship all service, and all the miracles were happening then. And finally, at 10 o'clock at night, I'd give my little sermon. But see, it was while praise and worship were going on that the miracles were occurring. All kind of miracles occurred. That is how important praise and worship is. You know, a lot of people they wait till praise and worship is over because they don't like how we sing. They missed it. They missed everything. And, you know, these people that we had up here today singing, they're the most anointed people. If you listen to different ones, they are the most anointed. Even the other ones that are great. But, I mean, I went through that this week. The anointing is not on their praise and worship like it is on this group. God has chosen this group for this time and this hour. I'm not saying you don't listen to anybody else's song. I'm just telling you the anointing is on these people. Why do I do videos? Because I want the anointing that's on that video to permeate this room. Because just y'all just stand up or singing, you don't have that anointing flowing. And if it's coming, and it does come off of the video. It does come off the video. I've had people tell me that when they listen to the tapes of my sermons, that the anointing is on that tape. And they feel that tape. Somebody else watches our services every week because they can't get here. They're too far away. Says they can tell when the anointing is real strong and they can tell when this anointing is weak through the airwaves. So what kind of anointing are you carrying? Are you carrying an anointing that destroys every yoke? Are you carrying an anointing that will plow out the hard ground in somebody's heart? You see what I'm saying? It's the anointing inside of you that's going to deal with a hard heart. You know, and you need to understand this too. God has been dealing with people for about the last 5-6 years to get themselves together. He's brought people into this church, and they felt the power of God, but they left. They quit coming. Why? Because their hearts are hardened, and they really don't want the things of God. They don't want to change. I mean, I know because I know people personally. They don't want to change. They're happy in the state that they're in. What can I do about it? Absolutely nothing. They sat under the anointing of God. They even wept, you know, when the altar call was given, and gave their heart back to God, but they went right back to their old lifestyle. We can't get hung up on these type of people. I didn't say don't love them. I didn't say that. I said we can't get hung up on these type of people because there's too many out there that have not heard about Christ. There's too many out there that we need to reach, and we're not reaching them yet. And if God has called you into a ministry, the enemy is definitely fighting you. He's trying to make you believe that you're not doing God's will. I mean, I'm going through this too. He's trying to make you believe you're not in God's will. He's trying to make you all think of all kind of junk. Why? He wants you to quit before your light totally destroys his kingdom. We just have to fight and just keep going. You know, we can't stop. That's not an option. You know, God always told me the glory was going to drop in the fall. So the fall of every year, I look for the glory. But from what God is saying, I think this is a fall that the glory is going to drop in all of its fullness. But I would like to see something happen between now and fall, wouldn't you? Because fall is sort of a far way off, isn't it? But God is, I'm just hearing him say, he's doing everything line upon line and precept upon precept. And he's shaking the churches and he's shaking everything. Everybody in the church that doesn't want him, you're going to see them leave the church. Because God said he won't have the goat and the sheep intertwined whenever the glory falls. So, you know, if you see people leave, you know, there's nothing, don't feel bad about it. They had their chance and they goofed up.